from the Schmoes No Network Studios in Los Angeles, California, it's time for Box Office Breakdown, where all the weekend numbers get chewed up, analyzed, and spit back in your face. And now, here's your host, the lovely Sarah Stratton, the diabolical Finsta, and every man's hero, J.T.E. Poof.
There we go. Hi, guys. Hello, Schmoville. Welcome back to Box Office Breakdown. I'm Sarah Stratton, and I'm joined with the wonderful JTE, I'm
Thank
very,
very
proud
much,
of
Sarah.
Currently, and Finstock.
Ha.
Ha. Yeah. We went from, is ha a new
yeah.
part? Is that inspired by, like, Halloween?
Yeah, Halloween.
Wonderful. How was your...
That's great.
Before we get into breaking down the numbers, especially this week, which was... It's been a heated morning. Lots of debates.
Yeah.
Lots of controversy. Before we get into that, how was everyone's Halloween?
Oh, ours was pretty good. I mean, Friday went down to the parade, which was crazy. Really fun.
That's the West Hollywood.
Yeah.
Oh, the West Hollywood parade.
It was like 750,000 people there.
It's a madhouse.
Yeah. I was the coolest guy. I went as Finstock, obviously. Actually, somebody's like, who are you? I'm like, oh, I'm Bob Finstock. They're like, who's that? I'm like, this big internet Twitter celebrity. I'm not. But I said I was. And I'm like, yeah, his number one fan.
Did
I'm
you
like,
actually
yeah, check him out on Twitter.
People?
Yeah. I was like, yeah, check him out on Twitter, at Bob Finstock.
I love how he said he's the coolest guy there.
Obviously.
Yeah, it's clear. How about you?
It's clear.
What'd you do?
I'm living vicariously through everyone else because I was working.
What?
No.
I know.
Halloween?
Yeah.
Wow, the Keanu Reeves
yeah.
coming there again?
Wait, did you go dress up?
I did.
Oh,
I dressed up.
Okay.
Of course. I've had 4 costumes this year.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, we were at Kamikaze.
Yeah, Saturday. I went to Kamikaze actually the night before. Well, we went Saturday morning. I went Halloween night, which was kind of crazy because everyone was dressed everywhere. And it
everyone
was really cool.
Was dressed everywhere?
Well, because it was Halloween night. So not only were you like in the convention surrounded by people in cosplay, but when you went back outside, everyone else was still dressed up. And I was like, oh, this is crazy.
Yeah, it's pretty scary. There's a lot of guys with like guns in the street. It was, I mean, you're like, is that real? Because you never know when somebody's just going to be like, haha, I'm kidding, and shoot everybody.
Let me tell you something. I drive.
Don't say things like that.
That's horrible.
You're ruining the holiday.
I mean, I don't know. It's weird.
I take the Metro. The Metro is a scary place when it's not Halloween. When it's Halloween, it's just you can't tell who's wearing a costume and who's not sometimes.
That's true.
It's insane.
I think you guys are just trying to bring down the mood.
No, I went to the guy. I was like, dude, you're a great zombie. Like, you look scary. He's like, I'm homeless.
Yeah.
And I was like,
poof.
Ugh.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, I got kicked out of Hooters, too, by the Coliseum.
What'd you
well,
do?
I didn't
get
kicked out. I got, like, escorted out.
Oh,
well, asked to leave.
Next to LA Convention Center?
Yeah. They were like, well, I had a...
What
issue.
Did you do?
I had an issue with the manager. I told him, I go, you need to cut these shorts differently on these ladies. It's just not flattering to their bodies anymore. And he's I'm like, who do you got designing this stuff? Jane Fonda? And he's like, look, man, we can't have you in here. I'm like, I didn't even drink anything yet. I did a couple stories.
You're against the shorts at Hooters.
Yeah, they got the worst
That's the
cuts.
Line
they
of
got
this.
The worst cut in the world. You could have the best body in the world, and those shorts will make you look like a 6-year-old, like a
I feel like
Tanzanian
most people
kid.
Really like the Hooters outfits.
Listen. When he said that, I immediately agreed with him. And I feel like I thought about this a long time. I just didn't have the courage to come out and say it.
Yeah.
So I'm glad you're willing to put yourself out there.
Yeah. I think they should wear boy shorts in there. They should switch it up.
Boy shorts?
Yeah,
okay.
It's old school now.
Let me just say one thing about Kamikaze. We met some great fans there.
Yes.
The panel was awesome. Thanks for everyone that came out at 10 a.m. because, I mean, it was the night after Halloween.
Yes.
Half of them were probably hungover. But we met some great fans. And not only the Schmoes, but Box Office Breakdown. Andre Cabrera, awesome guy from Arizona.
Hey.
Yep.
Super cool. Big fan. It's cool to meet the fans. It's always nice.
Always nice.
It's really, really
so
cool.
So let's actually talk to our fans and why they listen to us.
Yes.
For the numbers of this week.
My posture.
Man. This was like a photo finish.
It's been a very intense morning, everyone. Open.
Still a tie.
So it is not a tie. We've decreed as of now that this is not a tie. And we're going to start with number 5. Not expecting this at all. Book of Life.
Yeah.
Hanging on to the number 5 spot, bringing in $8.3 million. Just above it at number 4 with $8.8 million. Got Gone Girl.
Not going away.
Nope.
Not going away.
People love it.
Number 3, Fury. We knew those were two were going to be right next to each other. Got $9.1 million.
Yeah.
Now it gets down to
this is where
the top 2 spots.
I was looking at 0-5 this weekend.
This was, yes.
You were looking at it.
I was looking at
like Belichick, I reached down, grabbed that red flag, and threw it on the field.
Yep.
So those
right
of you who
you
looked at last night's numbers, if you were looking at the box office last night, they had number 2 going to Ouija.
Mm-hmm.
But as of this morning, number 2 is not going to Ouija, but going to Nightcrawler, who as of right now on Box Office Mojo is at 10.4 million. And number one, JTE. Everyone bow down.
I'm going to put this under protest, this one, until the real numbers come out at like 4:30 this afternoon.
They said
things can change.
It's the weekend is over. The numbers are in.
We do. The show has started. I think we have to go by our show time.
Yeah,
As of right now.
And that's
what it is. Fair enough. So it's 3-3 between me and JTE now.
You all laughed me out of studio when I put Ouija number one.
I apologize.
And here I am.
But I'm really glad that you beat me in stock. So.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah, but if JTE wins, you gotta get a Twitter handle.
And if we
tie at 5, you have to get a Twitter handle and wear the mask.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, at the same time.
That'd be great if we tied it.
I just feel like this isn't fair because so far I've missed a third of the weeks that we've done this contest.
Well, listen, Ellis was your replacement, and he did host Box Office Sunday for like a year.
He did.
So it was somebody, you know, who knew what he was doing.
Yeah, I agree.
I did not condone him betting for me.
Yeah, that's true.
Anyway, so as it stands, 3-3. Good job, guys.
Yeah, let's talk a little bit about this list. Book of Life. I think the reason why it's staying strong is not only is it Halloween, and it's a Halloween kids-themed film about the Day of the Dead.
It's also the only kids film.
Exactly, and it's the only kids film, which is not going to be the case soon.
Yeah.
But I think that's really why it's staying in the top five. And
it surprised me.
It was a really cute movie. It surprised me too, but I think it really does just point to the fact that it's the only one genre besides Alexander and the Terrible, Horrible, Very Bad, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, blah, blah, blah.
And this one does go for the holiday season. It is bringing out all the kids, all the parents, all the families are going to be able to see this as opposed to everything else, which is kind of scary or depressing.
Yeah, correct.
Speaking of scary and kind of depressing, number four, Gone Girl.
Yeah.
I actually, you know, before we talk about Nightcrawler, I went to go see it this weekend, and I got to the theater about like an hour early. So I got my ticket, and I said, yeah, I'm going to theater hop a little bit. And nothing was really playing. I've seen everything. So I was like, you know what? Gone Girl's playing. I'm going to go watch that for like 30 minutes. It was Saturday night around 8, 9 o'clock, and it was packed.
Yep.
And I said, wow, this thing is not dying down.
Do you think it's a good repeat watch?
I do. I saw it twice.
Some people, I mean, I would say that. I'm going to watch it again, but not in the theaters.
See, because that's where I think a lot of people are at. They really enjoy it. They're looking to get it when it comes out.
Right.
This isn't like Guardians of the Galaxy that people were like,
no.
I need to watch this 5 times in a row. So the fact that it keeps pulling people out after week.
I think what it is say, you know, because not every guy in the world only has one girlfriend. You know what I mean? So they're going to take, like, if they're trying to narrow down, like, the 5 girls they're dating into the one they want, they're trying to weed out the psycho.
That's good.
You know, they're taking him to Gone Girl.
Huh.
Yeah.
That's the weeding out of the
girlfriend's because, like
movie.
I said, when the girl starts doing crazy stuff, they look over, like, side-eye into the girl's eye. And if she's got that look in her eyes, that's the last time I'll see her.
I really want to disagree with him,
but
I kind of do agree with him.
Yeah. This makes sense. It's a theory.
I do
it's
not
a thin
condone
stuff.
Multiple girlfriends.
It's the Poofonomics.
Yeah, if you take a girl to see that, and afterwards she's like, "That she did it right."
Yeah, then I'm like, all right.
Cut her off.
I'm like, I'm going to go to the bathroom
Okay, so what happens if you take a girl?
Don't come back.
What happens if you take a girl to Fury, number 3? How does this play out as a girlfriend movie?
Well, I feel like Brad Pitt's in it, so she's probably going to want to see it. It could be him, you know, doing a yo-yo for 2 hours.
Yeah,
and
of course.
Be down with it.
Well, it's making most of its money right now.
It's Brad Pitt.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's making most of its money off of Middle America right now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, nobody on the coast has seen it anymore. It's done with. So Middle America's like, yeah, let's go see Fury for a little while. You know, it's like I equate it to more or less like when it first opens, it's like a hot club. You know, everybody goes and things like that. Now it's like Middle American money is equivalent to like a hot club, like just doing like bar mitzvahs on the weekends now. So
it's fitting for Fury.
Yeah, definitely. Bar mitzvahs the weekend for Fury. Works out.
Wow.
Well, it's staying up there. Now let's get into the two interesting movies. We're talking about Nightcrawler and Ouija.
Yeah, which, you know, obviously number 2 is now Nightcrawler.
Yes.
I saw it this weekend.
Right?
Yeah, did you see it?
Not yet.
Sarah?
I have not seen it either. I've heard wonderful things. It's getting 93% on Rotten Tomatoes. Everyone's loving it. I mean, we were so invested in it that our top 5 list later today is going to be more about Nightcrawler than about Ouija.
That's true.
I know. And Ouija's It's still at 8%. No one likes this movie.
It needs
to drop off.
Listen.
I'm telling you what it is.
Look at these numbers. The number one movie made almost $11 million. That is not a good amount for a number one movie.
No, the whole weekend itself was horrible.
Well, we talked about that. Halloween is actually falling.
It's the Halloween effect.
Exactly. And that's why I put my neck out there and put Ouija number one. Because I knew Nightcrawler was not going to pull big numbers. Look it. I don't think Middle America is going to watch it on a trailer and be like, oh, I need to go see that.
Yeah, you were correct.
The people who went saw this weekend were the coast.
Yeah.
East Coast and West Coast, all the film buffs, all the people who just like
absolutely
watching Oscar race, they all went saw Nightcrawler.
It's a beefed up specialty movie for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
Open Road acquired it for like very little money,
mm-hmm,
put some good promotion behind it. And, you know, I think it was $8 million budget or something like that. And they made their budget already. They'll make their money on it.
If this was a normal weekend and if it wasn't Halloween, it still probably would have made maybe only a few million more. I don't think it would have made that much more money.
You're probably right. Well, like I said, you know, Ouija itself is what Blumhouse does. Gangbusters for the first 2 weeks. Then it's like equates to like a hot chick with no job. She'll go to
okay, no. Yeah. What I want to talk about next is before we get into our international numbers, I want to talk to me about the biggest surprise of the weekend for me, which was a huge drop off of John Wick.
Ah, that's disappointing.
Dropping all the way to number 6. But I personally just feel really bad for this movie.
Don't feel too bad, because listen, it's number 6 at about $8 million.
It should have crapped.
$2 million away from the number one film.
True.
You got to remember, these numbers are all skewered by the weekend.
That's actually really, yeah.
That's a very good point.
It's only $2 million away from the first place. I mean, that's nothing in the box office.
It's just a really good movie, and it's dropping off this list. People are already forgetting about it, and it's about to be swarmed by a bunch of highly publicized, huge films. I just think it's going to get completely forgotten.
Oh, it's going to get buried. Anything that's coming out this weekend is getting buried.
It's over with.
It's over with.
And it's sad because that was a good movie. Yeah. I went and saw it. I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I think Keanu Reeves did a great job, and I think that unless it takes in that cult following that is going to buy this when it comes out on DVD, it's gone.
I think Keanu's not the draw he used to be. I mean, when's the last time he actually carried a successful film, like himself?
I'm telling you, he's got the siphon gas face. Nobody wants to see him anymore.
Also, and, you know, bring that back to Nightcrawler, Gyllenhaal is not a name that brings people to the theaters in droves.
No, absolutely
not. His last film, Prisoners, did pretty good, but I mean, you had Hugh Jackman.
People who are going to his movies are normally going for who he's starring with. They're not really going for him. Not to say anything against him. I think everyone does respect him as an actor, and he's well liked. He just doesn't have the pull.
I think he picks really good movies.
He
picks really good material. I know, you know, his movies are very watchable. Source Code I thought was great, another low budget movie.
Mm-hmm.
Your favorite movie,
what's my favorite movie?
The Cowboy that Brokeback Mountain.
Really? Yeah. I actually do own the screenplay to that movie.
All right, so yeah.
All right, you guys, we're going on to international numbers. Before we talk about, Jake Gyllenhaal some more. Talk about Birdman a little bit?
Yeah, it's doing great, and St. Vincent is still doing really well.
Yeah, Birdman is...
And Addicted.
They're saying they're really going to push it for a wider release, I believe, next week, because it's been killing in these limited theaters.
I think it has really great word of mouth. I think that it was a good competition for... It's interesting to me to see the people who are talking about Birdman, who are talking about Whiplash.
Yeah.
And I think it's the same crowd who is talking about Interstellar, besides Spring Mass.
Correct.
I think it should be opened in wide release. I think it will sit well with the masses. So I think it's a really smart decision.
And St. Vincent almost didn't fall off at all. It made like the same exact amount of money that it did last week.
Yeah.
Wow. It did this week.
I think it's actually, might have been, it's up 0.1%.
Yeah, wow. It's very close. It was like 7.8 and 7.75 or something crazy. That's a good hold. Once again,
it's an amazing hold.
$2.5 million away from being actual
number one. But if you do
look
at Birdman, it went up 81.9.
The buzz around that movie is really strong. Look out, Oscar season. I think it's really going to make some noise.
I agree with that.
All right. So let's go on to international numbers.
Favorite part of the show.
Yep.
Your favorite part is the numbers or the game after?
I love both.
All right.
It's fascinating to me.
So let's talk about Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, which opened in China.
That's not.
There's huge size. Huge size, guys. Well, you guys are going to disagree then, because it led the foreign box office this weekend and earned $34.7 million, which brings the international total to $244 million. And now the movie's earned $434.5 million worldwide. I never saw this movie, so I can't.
Oh, you didn't see it?
Thank God.
I was too scared. You're okay. I was like, I'm going to.
It's the worst.
Nice actors in
it. It was pretty bad, but I've seen worse.
Yeah.
Turtles 3 is still the worst out of all Turtle movies. You know, it comes down to what I said that when this movie first came out. It's a brand.
Absolutely.
It's got the tickets sold before it even came out. And something that's been around this long and has, like, you know, fruit snacks, toys, commercial. Mm-hmm. I mean,
pizza,
it's everywhere.
Pizza Hut, Papa John's jumped on board.
And it would have had to been the worst movie ever for it to not be a success. And while it's not the worst movie ever, it's still pretty bad.
I've heard it's really horrible, which is why I'm not adding to this $434.5 million, which I don't think they need my help on.
It was huge in China. So, wow.
Yeah, of course.
They know karate.
Yeah, that. And they don't even translate it. They just speak American. They don't care what's going on.
I'd be upset if I saw this movie in China because there's not enough karate in that movie.
Yeah.
They barely used their martial arts.
I did not see it, so I can't comment on the Chinese actual...
The Chinese are moving away from the martial arts now.
Sure.
Yeah, they don't like it anymore.
It's in their field. It's huge, big budget, lots of press, lots of merchandise. It's going to do well in China.
Yeah, I'm chucking.
All right, let's talk about the Maze Runner, also off to a solid start in China. Maze Runner this weekend. The movie opened to $13.7 million and added $23.8 million for a new total of $208 million. Wow. So, over worldwide, it's banked $300 million.
Yeah, it did about almost 100 here, not even.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't see it. Did anybody here see it?
I saw Maze Runner. Yeah,
that's right.
That.
She likes the dudes in it.
I liked it.
The dudes in it. Isn't he from Teen Wolf?
He is from Teen Wolf. I do like him. The movie was... I didn't hate it. Do I need to see it again? Not really. I wasn't excited to see the sequel, and that's not what you want out of a franchise film.
They would have lit a match in a theater over there with all the gel in people's hair. Forget about it. Whole thing would have went into flames.
Okay, you're in the wrong decade. All right, Gone Girl continued to impress the international box office. Man. Thriller took in $15.3 million. So this bringing the total to 142.4, and it had the strongest holds were in South Korea. It was off a light 10% to $4.1 million.
Hmm.
Yeah.
This has got to be, it's going to be Fincher's biggest film,
right?
I think
it is. I think it just went past it. It just beat Argo, which is obviously Affleck's movie, but.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow, it beat Argo?
Yeah, it just went past that.
Yeah, man. Word of mouth, this movie
is... It's going to get a Best Picture nod. No question.
You need to find out what the translation for that movie is. I am so curious what Gone Girl would be.
Yeah, it's called David Fincher's Pockets Have a Lot of Money in It.
Is this part of the quiz?
I thought that was social network.
Yeah, huh?
Is this part of the quiz?
No. It's just debating. I can't watch a movie now without wondering what it's called in our country.
Yeah, no, it's mind-boggling now.
It's great.
It's the game, and we'll segue right into it. Foreign titles.
Yes, let's do it.
Crazy American.
All right, Marissa,
movies.
Our engineer, is going to join in this week.
Yeah, she is.
From now on, because she's basically proven that she's better than me.
Yeah, she's better than probably
yeah,
both
she's
of
actually
us. I'm
really
scared.
Good. And she hangs out in the library on the weekends.
Marissa, are you ready?
I'm ready. You guys are playing me up, so if I mess up this week, then oh well.
Okay, so
all right,
our
here we
first
go.
One is out of Japan.
Oh yes,
Wreck-It Ralph is called Sugar Rush. Sugar Rush.
Oh, was that the name of the game?
Interesting.
In the movie? I think that was the name of the game in the movie that she wrote in.
In Japan, again, Napoleon Dynamite.
Oh, my God.
Oh, we're going.
Is called Busman.
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 Yeah, like a yellow school bus man.
Yeah, I get that. I'm just trying to figure out how they would even come to that title.
That would be like a Jerome Bettis movie.
Right. Now we go to our friends in Portugal. Forgetting Sarah Marshall is called What a Nice Pair of Roller Skates.
What a Nice Pair of Roller Skates.
Yeah. Are we supposed to pick which one's false or true again?
Yeah. That sounds
like... In Portugal, again.
Okay.
The Graduate is called Young Man Seduced by Hot Middle-Aged Woman.
That's basically just a description of the movie. Okay. Is that all of them?
Yeah. Once again, okay. Wreck-It Ralph, Sugar Rush.
And we're picking which one is false.
Yes.
Okay.
False.
So three of these are true.
Yes. Mm. That is correct.
Okay. So we have...
I'm going to go it again.
Go
yes,
again.
One
yeah.
more time.
Wreck-It Ralph is Sugar Rush.
Okay.
Napoleon Dynamite is Busman.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Forgetting Sarah Marshall is A Nice Pair of Roller Skates, .. And The Graduate is A Young Man Seduced by Hot Middle-Aged Woman.
That roller skate one would be perfect for boogie nights.
Oh, yeah.
I can't believe that's not boogie nights.
I normally you can kind of figure out where they might grab it from. Yeah. And both on Napoleon Dynamite, I don't understand the bus reference. Yeah. Maybe I'm just not remembering this movie that well. And on, I don't remember any roller skates.
You got to remember, Finstock's coming up with this fake one also, so he's very mischievous. I'm going to say Sugar Rush. It's the one I think that makes the most sense, so therefore I'm going to say it's fake. What do you say, Sarah?
I'm going to go with the roller skates.
Okay, Marissa?
Roller skates is false.
I was going to say roller skates.
All right, Marissa, no, that's fine. You can both have...
All right, I was going to say roller skates.
You can, like, join me against them in questions later, too.
Yeah, Sarah, you need a little help.
Unfortunately, all wrong.
No.
Yeah, the graduate, young man seduced by hot little middle-aged woman is not the case.
Curse.
It's like young man deals with incest or something
like
that.
Where are the roller skates?
You know, where? What's the bus? The bus man.
good counter-argument there.
The thing is...
none of those make sense.
20th Century Fox issued an apology to, like, the Napoleon Dynamite producers and everybody.
Why?
Because they were like, we don't know why it's called this. We wish we knew it, but we couldn't figure it out. And they have total carte blanche to name it whatever they feel like it. And they were just like, we're really sorry. It has nothing to do with a bus.
I'm trying to think. He goes
the
to school.
Only thing I can think
school
of,
bus.
The only thing I can think of is, like, they think he's slow or whatever.
Oh.
And they probably have him on, like, the short bus. I mean, Short Bus would have been a better name than Bus Man, but other than that.
Yeah, it really does not make any sense.
I feel like if I moved there, I would find out why.
Well, yeah.
The bus means something different over there.
Right.
I don't know why.
All right.
So we got another person in the mix, and they still didn't pick the correct
zero.
One.
Oh, jeez. Horrible. Well, let's move on to our top five lists. Normally, our top five lists kind of go with our number one movie. So last week when we had BG, we did board game movies. This week... because we thought about this last night, and before the points were rearranged, we're talking about Nightcrawler. So this week is based more off that top five Jake Gyllenhaal.
Yeah, this movies. Is an interesting list because, like we said earlier, he's not like the main guy usually. He's kind of like, you know, a part of an ensemble.
He's definitely a star, and he's been in huge films.
Yeah, but what's the one movie he really tried to carry himself as a superstar? Prince of Persia?
Yeah.
Not a very good movie.
Did not work.
Tanked.
Okay, did better than John Carter.
Well, let's talk about our list this week.
And Hercules. Kevin Lutz, or Kevin Lutz, whatever the hell you call him.
Shush.
I'm rubbing off.
All right, number five. What I like about this list, we're going to get into, is it spans all genres.
Yep.
But number five, Prisoners.
Mm.
$61 million.
Mm-hmm. My company did that.
Oh, really? Also on this list, the most recent of all of the other ones.
That's right. That was last year.
Mm-hmm. Number four, Jarhead.
Wow, Sam Mendes.
$62.6 million.
It's a good flick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now we're gonna get to your guys' favorite. Number three, Prince of Persia.
Poof.
Come on, it was...
He does go poof in a movie.
Yeah.
Whatever. Yeah, he wants to go back in time, it goes poof.
Flies in the sand and stuff like that.
Really great film.
Yeah.
Fantastic. This is where we're actually going to get a little bit... There's a little bit of debate.
Okay.
Because that's off... Prince of Persia comes in number three off the adjusted numbers.
Mm-hmm.
So if we go off the regular numbers, it's 90.7. And number two is Brokeback Mountain.
Your favorite.
My favorite on this list. Which is 83. So there's debate if we're going to go with the adjusted numbers or the actual numbers. Because you've got Brokeback Mountain, 103/83. And you've got Prince of Persia... 92.7/90.7.
The crazy part about Brokeback Mountain was it was a script written about in the 70s, and the original stars were supposed to be Bruce Lee and Chuck Norris.
Okay.
But they didn't.
No.
Yeah.
That's not the kind of fighting I want them to do.
That's not the kind of fighting I want those two doing.
Stop. It is a good screenplay. I really enjoy that movie. Our list has, there's a lot of different things about this. We're also discluding the number two list on Fox Office Mojo because number two could have possibly argued gone to City Slickers.
Yeah, it could have.
But we're not counting it.
He's like the son of one of the guys on there.
He was Billy Crystal's like keeper boy or something like that.
So you guys, you could argue that should rightfully be number two. We're not including it this week. It has 124 million. And so instead, we're going to number one, The Day After Tomorrow. Obviously.
Ugh. That was a huge movie when it came out.
It was
huge.
I remember when that came out.
Why did you?
Yeah.
Were you surprised?
It was not horrible.
It wasn't great.
I feel like you have a lot of beef with a lot of his movies.
I like Prisoners.
Prisoners was good. But, I mean, Day After Tomorrow, it's Roland Emmerich. I think I said it right.
Yeah.
I think he
destroys America and everything he does.
Yeah. And this was like before, 2012, where he basically was just doing the same thing over and over again.
He just gives terrorists like more ways to do things. Like, all right, let's see if we could,
have the White House movie.
Right? Yeah. Let's see if we could, whatever it's called,
global warming.
The whole world.
And again, while Jake Gyllenhaal is in this movie, it is very much an ensemble, but I would argue that he's one of the main leads, along with Dennis Quaid.
Dennis Quaid, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's a hot chicken in, too.
Also, it's funny. Day After Tomorrow, Brokeback Mountain. You could change the titles of those movies, and they both kind of make sense.
Yeah. Yeah. You could use Brokeback Mountain.
Brokeback could be called Day After Tomorrow.
You could have called Nightcrawler. Brokeback
Mountain could have been called.
Are you just going to switch them all up?
Nightcrawlers,
yeah. Yeah, Nightcrawlers, Brokeback Mountain. John Wick, a.k.a. Brokeback Mountain.
Okay.
I'm going to see what Brokeback Mountain's called in China. I got to see.
Please include this in next week's game.
I want every country's name for Brokeback Mountain.
That's a really good one. If I could find that, we're going to definitely
do it. Stay tuned. We're going to try for that next week, guys. But also talking about things for next week, upcoming films.
Mm. Oh, this is a big one.
Do-do-do-do-do.
This is a huge weekend.
Huge.
Huge weekend.
Huge weekend. Interstellar.
Yeah, Nolan coming back after what some people are disappointed with Dark Knight Rises, me included. I'm sorry. I like the movie, just didn't love it. And Inception, this is first, I mean, since Inception, this is first, what was the word I want to say? Original property. He came up with the story himself, and he's very inventive with stories. Look at his first film, Memento.
I have a story about that show, Memento.
What's that?
I thought his brother came up with
up with the story together.
Yes.
Yeah. But, I mean,
his brother came up with it.
You're always excited when he does something original, because look at Inception, how new and different it was. And, like, I was saying, his first film, Memento, the way he structured...
I have a story about Memento.
Do you
know? Basically,
I'm so surprised.
I mean, Nolan's career is basically a fluke.
What? How?
Yeah, look, here's the deal. They shot Memento, and they didn't really have enough money, so they hired this editor who was, like, sketchy. I'm telling you what it is.
It was an independent film.
I feel like you were just trying to destroy films, this podcast.
No, he cut the movie backwards. He had no idea what he was doing. All the producers watched
You can't just take good films and, like, cut them apart so they fit your story.
It was an editor who knew nothing. So basically, they would watch the thing, like, what did you do here? They fired him on the spot. They hired a real editor. He cut the movie the way it was supposed to be done, forward.
Yeah.
And it was worse. Nolan's like, we got to go back and use this guy's cut.
You're saying the whole concept of the way that movie, like, what it's hailed for, was an accident.
Yeah, because it was an idiot editor.
He's just destroying someone's vision. He just...
So basically, Nolan's first movie since... first movie without Wally Pfister since The Following, which is in 99.
That's right. Yeah, that was his first, like, indie film.
Well, Wally was doing Transcendence. But anyway, I think I'm going to be the first one to say that I'm not really... I don't really care about this movie.
Okay.
Really?
Yeah. I don't care. I don't really care about it.
What makes you say
that? I actually can kind of agree with you.
Oh, my God. Where am I right now?
Okay, honestly, this is what I have to say. Like, it looks like it's going to be beautiful.
Yeah.
I kind of felt the same way about Gravity last year, where I was like, oh, that's beautiful. This is going to be another beautiful movie. I get it.
It's 2 hours and 50 minutes.
I'm seeing it in 70mm.
Yep.
I'm seeing it really, like... I'm trying to be there for... Part of me is just like...
What is it? Is it the trailers? Is it just like you don't know enough about the movie? What you saw doesn't excite you? I'm curious.
The most exciting thing that I have found about this movie is that they actually made a scientific discovery while making it, and that they were trying to... I think they were trying to do a visual representation of, like, a black hole.
Okay.
And they were, like, really sourcing out, like, finding people who knew what they're talking about.
Okay.
And then the combining of, like, their computers and their digitals and all of their information, they actually made some scientific discoveries that they're going to be able to publish.
Sounds like the end of Howard the Ducks.
Exciting news I've heard about this film.
Okay.
Like, I was like, wow, that's actually really cool. Like, a film inspiring research papers. Great. I'm just like, I love Matthew McConaughey. I'm kind of sick of him at the moment.
What?
I know.
No, I think you're right. I think he's a little oversaturated.
Anne Hathaway is the same way. Where I'm just kind of feel like... I kind of feel like how when they made American Hustle last year and they just shoved a bunch of America's Darlings, like, and favorite people in a movie, and they were like, here, go all see this, and they kind of shoved it at you. I feel like Interstellar's being shoved in my face.
What?
Like, if you don't see this, you are not a movie fan. And so I'm going to see it. I'm seeing it in the best format I can.
I'm not.
I'm... Oh, well, I am. I'm seeing 7mm. But I'm truthfully not that excited about it.
It's not like he stacked the movie with superstars. Yes, McConaughey just came off the Oscar, and he's the lead. You got Anne Hathaway, who, I'm sorry, is like
Anne Hathaway, Jessica Chastain.
But is Chastain a star? Or is she just well-known amongst the film people?
No. She's a star.
Zero Dark Thirty.
She's a star.
What does she care besides Zero Dark Thirty?
She's always in the press. She's becoming like the new...
Topher Grace is in the movie. He's not a pole. The other guy who's in the show, but I can't remember his
name. It's a Nolan movie. You could put anybody in it.
Exactly.
It just is what it is.
You're going to see it for Nolan.
I feel like they're trying to tell me, like, these are the best actors right now that you need to see.
Some of them are the best actors right now.
The Dark Knight was
good. I just feel like I'm being force-fed.
The Dark Knight Rises or whatever with Heath.
Yeah.
But that's the only time I watched that movie. Once the Joker takes off, I don't watch the movie anymore. It's the end of the movie for me.
It's only 5 minutes like after that.
No, it's like a half hour. Whole storyline like of the Two-Face and stuff like that.
We'll see what I have to say next week. I'm going to go see it. I'm trying to have an open mind.
Let me just say, Nolan is one of the best filmmakers working today.
I agree. I just said it's going to be beautiful.
No, I agree. And that's one of the reasons why I'm going to go see it, is because not only do I love the fact that they use practical effects, like the stuff they do, they actually shot with screens. They didn't use as much CGI or like special effects.
It's great technology. Next to James Cameron, he's the most visual technical guy there is in the movie business.
All right, guys. Let's keep going. We have so much to say about that. But also, Big Hero 6. This one I'm excited about.
Yeah, I'm not so excited. But go ahead.
I want to know what happened to Big Hero 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. Why is it named six too. Right now? It's the same thing with the Leonard Bill Cosby movie.
You have to go
see it. Leonard Part 6.
Yeah, it was Leonard Part 6. What happened to 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5? What, are you writing them in his house?
Maybe 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 are in the movie, and Big Hero 6 is just the most important.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
He should be just named Big Hero, but they can't do that because there was a controversy with a baby in China.
No, we're not going into this story.
Yeah, he was shipped in a sandwich.
A baby was shipped in a sandwich. Didn't you hear him talking about this earlier?
Because they had too many kids, and they're like, we got to get rid of the kid. The guy owned like a sandwich truck, and he put the baby in between the processed meats.
Can I get a baby back rib sandwich? Yeah. Oh, I got a baby back rib sandwich.
Just Google the story. It's bizarre.
I apologize.
It's true?
Both of you.
It's like the girl who spent the week in KFC.
I now have to apologize to everyone for the two of you. I'm sorry that he got away with that story.
A baby sandwich.
Next, you guys, The Theory of Everything coming out. This movie... I didn't know much about. I watched the trailer yesterday. I think it looks really good. I want to see it. It's interesting. Indie flicks, Stephen Hawking, his life story. It's got some good people in it. Supposedly very well acted. It's getting good reviews. But I feel like it's kind of just coming out of nowhere.
Yeah. You know, Scott Mance is the only person I know who actually seen it. Scott Mance, who hosts his Profiles on his network, which is a great show. He told me it was fantastic. And... Mm-hmm. That put it on my radar right away. And then seeing the trailers and some of the reviews that have come out in early word, I'm like, this movie kind of came out of nowhere, and I'm really excited to see it.
I have an interesting thing to say about that. It was just, this is a great story.
Can I get a
detail? Which is just so good. No, listen, this is amazing. So basically, you ever heard of the Sadie Hawkins dance? Listen to me.
Yes, I've heard
so
of Sadie
some girl
Hawkins
asked me
dance.
The Sadie Hawkins dance when I was in like sixth grade. I didn't know really what it was. So my brother, you know, he's like, hey, what are you doing? I'm like, hey, I'm getting ready to go to this Sadie something dance. He's like, what do you mean, the Stephen Hawking dance? I'm like, who's that? He's like, you know, the guy who discovered the Earth or whatever. I'm like, oh, all right. So I'm like, what does he do? So he showed me a picture and he was in the wheelchair and stuff. I was like, I got to dress up like this guy? He's like, yeah. He's like, that's what it's called, the Stephen Hawking dance. I was like, all right, let's go. So I'm like, where am I going to get a wheelchair from? He's like, go down to Nikki. You know, the guy, my neighbor downstairs, he fell down an elevator shaft when he was working at construction company. So I
sometimes I think you create stories, so I will cut you off, and then when I don't, they just get more ridiculous.
I went to the dance as Stephen Hawking, and it didn't go over that well.
Obviously. All right, you guys, we're running.
You wasn't treated well, though.
Both of you were running short on time, so we have to get through our predictions for next week. I'm going to start, because I always end, and I'm thinking maybe that's part of my bad luck.
You think?
Shush. Okay. Number five, I'm going to drop it to number five, Fury. Then number four, I'm going to keep it saying it, Gone Girl. Because I keep being wrong and thinking it's going to disappear, and it doesn't.
It doesn't, yeah.
So I'm just going to, like, give in and say it's going to stay where it's at. Number three, Nightcrawler. Number two, Big Hero 6. Even though I kind of secretly want it to be number one, I think it's going to be number two. And number one, Interstellar.
Yeah.
For sure. And they're pushing it so much. I feel like it's opening in so many theaters early And they have a 70 millimeter well, let me and ask, 35.
They're playing in a McDonald's.
Let me ask you this. There's Are we counting the Wednesday grosses or just Friday to Sunday?
We might have to debate this.
I think we should just count the weekend. Cause I don't think, I think when they release the report, they'll tell you like what it made on Wednesday and Thursday or just Wednesday, Thursday.
Yeah.
I think we minus that from the weekend.
Yes,
all right,
I agree with that.
I'm still giving it number one.
Okay.
I'm still giving it number one. What about you guys?
I am going to go with, I think Gone Girl stays at number five.
It was at number four.
Yeah, but it's going to stay in the top. I meant the top five.
Okay.
Just the Brad, to clarify. Brad Pitt tank movie at number
okay.
four.
Okay. I love how you never call it Fury. You're just like Brad Pitt tank movie.
We got, I think, you know, Nightcrawler. I think it'll stay. I think it'll get a little more word of mouth and people go check it out. I think people who wanted to check it out on Halloween couldn't because they were like walking their kids around the neighborhood getting candy or something. Mm-hmm. And, I'm gonna go with number two, Interstellar.
Ah! Wow.
I don't think it's gonna bust number one. I think this movie's gonna do like 50.
It is 3 hours.
49 to $50 million, and I think Big Hero 6 could make 54 to 56.
I think he does have some good points. Like if you look at what Gravity came out with last year, or in my opinion, like American Hustle, those were in like the 50s, 60s. But then if you're looking at Christopher Nolan films like Dark Knight, that's bringing in
just the name
hundreds
Nolan.
Of millions.
Just
so
the name
it's
Nolan.
Not
that
skewing towards chicks. Chicks
that
don't want chicks who are not big movie fans do not want to see this movie.
But most animated films are normally in like the 40s, so
that's true.
I think
but
that's
this is Big Hero 6. It was written by a guy who had an infatuation with blow up dolls as well.
No, stop. All right, GT, please give me your predictions.
Oh, a kid's version of a blow up doll. All right, here Come we go. On. Number five, I'm going Gone Girl.
Okay,
I'm gonna put number five. I think, like you said, it's gonna stay in top five. And it's going to be really tight with Fury at number four. Those two are going to could flip flop very easily. But I'm going to stick with what I originally wrote down here. Number three, Nightcrawler. Again, I don't think it opened very good this weekend. Even if it wasn't Halloween, I don't think it would have opened that great. But it's going to be just enough to beat Fury because it's pulling from the same crowd. Number two, I'm going to go Big Hero 6 because I feel like I don't know what the big draw is, that inflatable guy. Like, I just don't see kids running to that movie.
Oh, I think kids are running. It's whether or not the parents want to spend another weekend dealing with their kids, who they just gave a whole weekend to for Halloween,
I think
and
the
not parents want to have a weekend.
Exactly, and I think that's why they're going to get some sitters, and they're going to go see Interstellar with McConaughey, Hathaway. Hathaway will bring the girls. McConaughey will bring, you know, the guys.
Yeah.
Nolan's going to bring the film geeks.
Yeah.
There we go. Boom. I'm definitely on board with you for those, too. So those were our predictions. Send us your guys' predictions. Now, everyone knows we do the show for the fans.
Of course.
Yeah.
Thank you, guys.
It's all about you.
You're
guys.
Awesome. Let's start this off with our winner.
Yeah.
We had a contest last week for
Kenny.
A wonderful t-shirt.
It's best
Kenny
t-shirt.
The Tiger.
It's the best t-shirt around.
It is. Kenny the Tiger.
I guess it is. And this award is going to Aaron Brooke Naylor.
Yes.
Yeah.
You win.
He's a great Schmoville guy. He always comments, always doing something fantastic. Mm-hmm. He deserves the shirt. I mean, even though you think the shirt's a piece of junk, it's not. I'm going to sign it in.
There's just tape on it to hold it together, but it's not a piece
silver
of junk.
Outliner.
Yeah. He had a great comment about.
Yes, I wrote a tiger in Zimbabwe, like He-Man or something. And
if he was like the guide.
Yeah, the
was,
guide.
Tracing the steps, Marco Polo.
Yeah.
It was ridiculous.
And I turned out to be the guy or something. I'm going to brush up this shirt. We're going to sign it for you. I'm going to put some extra tape on it so it doesn't fall off during shipping. And, you know, do what you want with it, man. I think, you know, you can have a lot of fun, show it to your buddies, and, I don't know, wear it around the house or something, eating cereal.
So, Aaron, you're awesome. Thank you for your great story. The rest of you out there, please rate, comment, subscribe, go to our YouTube channel, Schmoes No Podcast, go to our website, go to our Facebook page, like us,
follow
also
us on Twitter.
Yes.
Follow them
on Twitter.
Well, no, we also have it. If me and JTE both win with five at the same time, Sarah's got to wear their mask and also get a Twitter handle.
Like we get to pick her Twitter.
No.
Yeah, we get
no,
to pick a Twitter handle.
No, I did not agree to that. I did not agree to that.
Like I had to pick Alicia's
outfit.
Yeah, gear.
On the main show. My handle.
I brought in two close bins
please,
of the crew roll.
Please let us know where they can find you.
My handle is at @SchmoesJTE.
Mine's at @BobFinstock. Poof.
And mine doesn't exist. So
yet.
Thank you guys. Tune in next week, please.
Keep watching those numbers.
Poof.
producers, Christian Harloff, Mark Ellis, and the entire Schmoes No Network crew, we would like to thank you for listening to Box Office Breakdown. Special thanks to Kevin Undergaro and Maria Menounos, the author of Every Girl's Guide to Diet and Fitness, in stores now. To watch or listen to other Schmoes No Network episodes, get movie news, and join the conversation, be sure to visit SchmoesNo.com. And don't forget to rate and review this show on iTunes. I'm the Pit Boss, and this has been a presentation of Schmoes No Network.